In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Hi, all. Nicole here. This podcast is intended to inspire you on your personal spiritual journey to inner peace. I am not a psychologist or a medical doctor and do not offer any professional health or medical advice. This applies to the podcast guests and or co-hosts. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek help from a qualified health professional. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Hi, psychic listeners. Welcome to another episode of A Psychic Story. For this episode, I have on Torrence Tremaine. He is an astrologer and writer residing in New York City. He employs an archetypal and imaginal approach to astrology that he has developed through over a decade of self-directed study, as well as his degree in art history and his interest in mythology, symbols, cosmology, and depth psychology. Torrence has honed his knowledge of astrology by reading books, taking courses, and studying materials from renowned astrologers such as Demetra George, Richard Tarnas, Chris Brennan, Liz Green, Kelly Surtees, and Adam Ellenboss. And I just wanted to give him a warm welcome to the show. Welcome, Torrence.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. Well, very excited to dive in because in this episode, we're going to be talking about the current astrological transits. I think as of recording this episode, we are now officially in Aries and not Pisces season, which we'll be getting into a little bit later. But first, I really want to hear how you got started in all this. I know that you mentioned that your experience wasn't the quote unquote typical spiritual experience, but it was somewhat of a supernatural, paranormal experience. So let's start there. What happened?
I was probably around 9 or 10 years old, and my father and I, it was funny because my mother and my sister got out of the car. They get out of the car, they go inside. I think it was for a holiday. And, you know, they were probably carrying a bunch of things and we had stuff to carry as well. So we hung back at the car, and I'm from the border of Ohio, West Virginia. So it's a little more rural, Appalachia. And it's still very difficult to describe what we saw that day or that evening. But
I'm excited to hear.
Yeah. My dad and I, we look up at the sky, you know, from our perspective on Earth. It almost looked like it wasn't like a spaceship necessarily, or at least what the human mind would conceive of as some kind of vehicle. It looked like, honestly, it looked like an underwater creature or something that was an animal or something that was more creature-like than a metallic disc or, you know, some kind of tube. It was incredibly strange in that it also didn't appear to be solid. It appeared to be fragmented light in a way. Later on in life, because I was a child, so at the time, I didn't really know what a hologram was. But many years later, you know, I find out what holograms are. I see what they look like. And the first time I ever saw a hologram, it actually reminded me of that incident, because whatever it was that we saw, I call it a UFO, and I do 100,000% believe that we're not, of course, the only life in this vast cosmos, but that whatever we saw, it looked like it was light or energy that composed an image of some kind of creature, or it was huge too.
So you think it was more like a creature, not like a, and maybe if it had that hologramic or hologram appearance, it was more as if it was in a different dimension. Maybe it was like you were seen in between.
I believe it was something that was interdimensional.
That's so cool. What did your dad do?
We just stood there frozen in the middle of the street staring at it. It was scary, but wildly fascinating. Even now, it's very hard to describe it. And we actually didn't talk about it until like a whole decade plus later. One day, we were watching something on TV about aliens came up at UFOs. And he turns to me and he's like, do you remember that time when you were like a little kid, maybe like 10 years old, and we were outside of your grandma's house? And I was like, Dad, I almost want to cry that you're saying this because I thought I was insane.
Oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, okay, I did actually see that. You saw it too. Okay, thank God. You know? Yeah, we just laughed about it and like kind of tried to revisit it, but we both had trouble like putting words to what we saw.
Words to what it was. Yeah, it's hard when you don't have a description and you can't really, I don't want to say define it as much as just when there aren't human words to explain what you see. And hologram did give me a much better visual. So I'm glad we have that word to somewhat describe it. So did you have any other experiences of that nature since then? Or was that the only one that kind of happened from that kind of type of experience?
I've definitely seen other objects in the sky that not quite sure what they were. I've just seen them so often that throughout my life, since then especially, that I can't even pinpoint a single incident. I mean, even my mom had a very recent, she's very straight-laced. She wouldn't be someone who would typically believe in anything. And she recently had an experience that changed her perspective significantly. I don't know, maybe my family, we just have some magnetizing.
Well, I was going to say it could be a couple things. So what I was kind of seeing in my mind's eye when you were talking is that, you know, there are people that part of their intuition or psychic senses are you see physically, not just in your mind's eye. Like I see I see more in my mind's eye primarily, and then occasionally physically with my eyesight. But it sounds like you guys have this ability to see beyond the veil is what I would best way to call it, and perceive things that might be on different timelines or dimensions. And so maybe that's why both of you or all of you are having this. And it does run in families, i.e. our DNA or our spiritual DNA, because that is part of just who we are and our genetic makeup. So that's what I was getting. But then also, yes, if it is extraterrestrial in nature, I mean, they say if you have an experience like that, it's not just one person, it's usually in the family. And then there's multiple experiences and it goes through generations and generations, or it could be a combination of all of it. We don't know, right?
Yes, yes.
So is that what made you kind of look up to the stars more and astrology and, you know, learn more about it? To try and find an explanation.
I became obsessed with science fiction, with space, aliens. I loved Star Trek. I loved Star Wars growing up. I even wrote a book in sixth grade. We all had to publish our own book in sixth grade in my English class. And I even ended up writing my book about an extraterrestrial abduction experience. And the main character in the book gets taken off, ends up actually being like a peace broker and is great galactic war. You know, I was 12, but it was directly inspired by having seen that object. And that definitely, that experience and many following opened my mind up to a reality that isn't entirely material, that there is a potential metaphysical or multi-dimensional aspect to being conscious of, you know, to the cosmos in and of itself.
Yeah, that had to be such an awe. I say awe, but I'm actually at a loss for words. If I saw something like that, it would be awe-inspiring in a way that you can't forget it. It changes who you are as a person. And then also being able to experience it with your family. And then, as you mentioned, with your mom and her most recent experience, which I'm not going to prompt and pry because it sounds like she's a pretty private person. But yeah, I do want to get into, so after you did that had that experience when you were a child, and then you wrote a book, and then as you grew up, when did you start to go more into the actual practice of things like astrology? And you have a very, you know, well-versed background too, degree in art history, mythology, which I love as well, symbols. And so what made you, not say made you, but what prompted you to get into that? And how did that look and how did that evolve as you just progressed throughout your career?
Well, firstly, I started reading horoscopes around that same time. There was a regular column in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that I really loved. growing up. And the writer at the time, she had a really colorful, fun way of describing astrology, describing the signs, talking about different transits. I read it every week. And it was unlike other columns you read. Most horoscope columns at the time, especially like the late 90s, early 2000s, they had a really prescriptive, you know, approach.
It was very dry.
Yeah. She made it so fun.
It's like reading a word, like looking up a word in the dictionary and just reading the description. Right? There was like no oomph behind it. Yeah.
Very rote material. But if anyone's ever read a Tom Robbins novel, she had this just very colorful way of discussing the astrology. And it not only inspired me to, you know, continue learning about astrology, but also inspired my own writing style to be more poetic, to be more adventurous and playful with writing. And things just kind of, you know, I was very young at the time. And, you know, I had that rebellious phase later on as a teenager where it was like, I'm an atheist and I don't believe in anything anymore. And, you know, but it was really in college where I had, you know, some personal challenges and some experiences that led me to rediscover spirituality, philosophy, psychology. And then I started getting into the, you know, Jungian school of thought, depth psychology. I started reading about Eastern thought and philosophies, Taoism, Buddhism, etc. You know, I feel very blessed in a way that my family, my immediate family, was always very open when it came to spirituality and religion. Like, we had a Bible, we had a Torah, we had the Quran, we had, like, those things were just a part of my life always growing up. I never felt restricted to one point of view, and my parents never kind of prompted us to stick to one, you know, perspective. So I felt very free later on in life to kind of explore lots of different worldviews. And I actually met a friend in college who I could say almost reintroduced me to astrology, because it was a fascination as a kid. But she actually introduced me to the birth chart. She's like, oh no, you need to like look at your chart. And it's like, oh yeah, there is a chart. I just never even bothered to look at it. I was probably like 18, 19 at the time. Since then, it's been a well over a decade since then. And I started studying and became much more serious.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to read a part of your bio that I want to go back to too. And I think this is the next wave and to get into what it is that you do and how you do it. But it says that Torrance's counseling approach emphasizes his clients' engagement with their personal mythos, the quest to embody soul in synchrony with the cosmos. Rather than promoting fatalistic outlooks, he prompts his clients towards self-inquiry and experimentation. He sees astrology as a therapeutic narrative tool, one that helps individuals connect with the archetypal ecology and sacred timing of our cosmos. That's really powerful. So you take this astrology and you look at it based on a person's personal experiences and their beliefs spiritually, and then take it into a deeper inquiry and meaning about how that outlook is in their life. And then I'm assuming then you look into also their charts and all of that and then apply it. Yes?
Yes. I would say firstly, we explore the dimensions of the chart itself, and naturally someone's worldview, their perspective kind of, you know, falls. It's usually a flow where it just kind of falls into place as we go through the reading. I really like to remind my clients that the ancients who practice astrology, and I'm a Western astrologer for everyone who might be listening, I practice more so in the classical style that is rooted in the Hellenic world of Alexander the Great. It's a very more traditional astrology, but I do have that kind of Jungian contemporary lens that I speak to it through. And with that said, when the ancients were developing astrology, who knows exactly? That's still a question. Where exactly did this come from, this incredible wealth of knowledge? But when this came about, their conception of the different planets, say the sun, of course, the sun and the moon are luminaries, they're not planets, but the sun and the moon or Mercury, Venus, etc., these are deities. These were gods in their conception. So as someone who is deeply influenced in the notion of archetypes, that we embody divinity and that our chart is actually like a map, what are our affinities? And I hope that through a reading, it can guide someone to better relate to their own power and perception that they are interconnected all of life. That, you know, we're not atomistic individuals that, you know, we're locked away in little material boxes. Like, no, we're enmeshed with all of life, all of reality. And this is co-creative. So
very neat. Yeah. There's a lot of depth there because there are astrologers that you can go to and they say, here's your chart. Right. And that's totally fine. But it sounds like I mentioned there's depth to say, okay, what does this mean holistically for both, again, your beliefs, but then like you said, the connection to the divine and how that can be not just a part of you, but you understand how it all works together.
There's a mundane side to astrology where, you know, you can look at timing. Oh, this is a great time to maybe get married, or a great time to start a new project, you know. But I think I'm also more so passionate about the metaphysics of it all and the philosophy behind.
Yeah. No, I mean, to me, there's a mystery to everything, like you said, with the ancients and how they developed astrology or whenever it was created. And a lot of people may call it a pseudoscience, but I do think that there is a lot of quote unquote science, a lot of math behind it. And if you look at the energies and everything else, like, so there's the mystical, right? And the mysticism and the mystery behind it. But then there's also the, how can we use it as a powerful tool or an empowering tool and resource to, again, not just understand ourselves, but spiritually on all levels. And then how the world around us is related to that and just understanding those cycles.
Absolutely. There is a sacred pattern at play. And I think essentially what astrology is, it's a, like a cosmic clock that by looking at someone's chart and that what we call the transits, which are the interactions between someone's birth chart, this is where the sun was, et cetera, and where those bodies in the sky are at this moment, that relationship, that interaction, it's a form of time telling. So for example, you know, we're going to discuss today, Saturn is now in Pisces. You can look back in history every time Saturn's been in Pisces, and you'll see similar events occur during that 3-year period Saturn is in Pisces. And you can look at any transit throughout history of a certain planet in a certain sign or two planets interacting in a particular way, and you'll see these echoes throughout history of the same pattern showing up again and again. And it's the same in our personal chart. We see this both on the world stage, but we also see this personal, on an individual level. We have those patterns in our own lives. And sitting down with an astrologer for a reading is an opportunity to look at, what time is it cosmic? What patterns are at play cosmically in my life? And how can I adapt?
I love the way that you simplified that because it's not simple necessarily for people to understand. And so I'd love to dive in there, right? Which is what we wanted to talk about, which are the transits. So Pisces was out or is out. Now we're in Aries and there are several years in the making for a couple of these transits. So I guess first, if you can kind of explain for people listening, if they're not familiar with astrology, what is a transit? And what are we currently experiencing, right? And then maybe what's to come. I'd love to hear that.
So a transit is the location of a planet over a period of time. We could either be looking at this moment right now, or we could look between now and 2042, or now in 2100, or back in, you know, the past. You can look at the journey of each planet throughout the zodiacal wheel, which is all 12 signs, throughout the course of history. So where the planets are at that point, think of a group of travelers walking around this great wheel, great circle. And you can press pause, you know, at this moment and say, okay, well, the sun, as Nicole mentioned, the sun is now in the sign of Aries today. But a month from now, the sun will have continued its journey and moved on into the sign of Taurus. The sun spends about roughly 30 days of sign. Every planet has its own journey around the zodiacal wheel. And taking a look at the transits of the moment means we're basically pressing pause on that wheel and saying, where are these travelers located on this map?
Great explanation. I'm also visual. So hearing that, I can kind of see that. And now that totally makes sense. Because especially when you hear people talking about it or you see posts on social media, I'm like, again, it's something. What does it mean? Catch me up, right? So yeah, explain a little bit about what else. So we're in, you mentioned Saturn is entering Pisces. It was on 3-7 for the next 3 years, and Pluto is entering Aquarius on March 23rd for the next 20 years. So what does all that mean, those periods of time? So 3 years and 20 years seem like those are going to be big moments or periods of time, I guess, for us to pay attention to, right?
We are coming out of a very Saturnine period of time that you could say like a little mini era of Saturn, in that for the past 3 years, Saturn is the ruler of Aquarius traditionally, and Saturn has been in Aquarius for the past 3 years. Prior to that, Saturn was in the sign Capricorn, the other sign it rules, for 3 years. So we're roughly saying from 2018 until now, Saturn has been in its own sign. And another way to think about signs is if the planet is like a divine and it has all this meaning. So for example, Saturn is this divine force and or an archetypal force that represents concepts like contraction, structure, order, form, discipline, and authority. So when that particular archetypal force spends 6 years in home signs, you could say it literally is living in its own home for 6 years. And then when it goes to a new sign, it's going to live in another planet's house. So think about when you're at home, you're comfortable. You have all of the things you love, you know, like the food you like, you know where everything is.
Your cozy blanket. Yeah.
And that's how Saturn has been for the past 6 years. Saturn's been so comfortable and cozy at home. But when a planet is at home, it's at its height of power. The same way when you're home, you're very comfortable, but you also, you know, you're the sovereign of your home. You have, you know, the lay of the land. So we've been living in a very intensely Saturn 6 years. And Saturn is the planet that deals with things like limitation and contraction and mortality and detachment and distance and isolation. Saturn's a little more challenging of a planet in astrology. And we have seen a six-year period that has had a lot of, you know, contraction and limitation, and we've faced mortality collectively in many ways. Saturn also rules things like opposition, and we've seen a lot of opposition amongst the people. But thankfully, Saturn's now moving into Jupiter's, just Pisces. And Jupiter is very much the contrary of Saturn. So Jupiter is about expansion, abundance, prosperity, wisdom, success, optimism. So Saturn, a planet that is a little more pessimistic, a little more melancholic, a little more ordered and structured, is now going into a sign, Pisces, that's very poetic, dreamy, and mystical. So you might see over the next 3 years, and for those of you who know your chart or have access to it, look to where Pisces is in your chart and look if you have any planets there. You maybe look up the house it Pisces is in to get a better idea of how this might personally impact you.
I'm a Pisces. So is this my year?
Oh, you're a Pisces?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well,
I'm hoping it's my year.
It's a year of coming into a greater sense of responsibility for Pisces sun.
Okay.
Authority and responsibility.
More authority and responsibility. Okay, great. But no, what actually, not to like joke around about it, but the other episode just recently with Anne-Marie that was on, we talked about numerology and how this starting in March, it's like a fresh start for a lot of people. I would say fresh start as much as clean slate for people that have been working on their spirituality. And so hearing that with numerology coupled with what you're saying astrologically with Jupiter and Pisces and where Pisces is in somebody's chart is really refreshing to hear. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there are going to kind of agree like, it has been a lot really, you know, hard 3 years, 6 years for a lot of people, but those three in particular. So I love that you're saying this. So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You were saying before, like with a client.
Actually, I'm glad you made that point. Thank you. It's important to consider with Pisces, the sign. As of 2011 and 12, the planet Neptune has been transiting, also known as journeying, through the sign of Pisces. And Neptune is a traveler, a planet that represents qualities like delusion, illusion, dissolving. When Neptune moves through a sign like Pisces, that's already a very poetic and mystical place. For example, for a Pisces sun, this may have been a period of time since 2011, 12, where you feel I'm trying to gain a sense of my direction. I'm trying to order my life, structure myself. But it seems like every time I get everything, ordered and structured, it kind of dissolves in a way from beneath. Because Neptune doesn't really like order and structure. But the great thing about having Saturn enter Pisces is for anyone who has a Pisces sun, moon, ascendant, or multiple planets in the sign of Pisces, this is going to be a time where anything you've had a hard time getting a grasp on since 2011, 12, I know it's a long period of time, but Saturn's going to help you get a grasp on anything that you've been struggling. Saturn's going to provide you with discipline and structure so that you can succeed and become even more masterful at life. It's a really positive transit, I think, for a lot of Pisceans, because Pisces can struggle with merging and with everyone else's feelings and thoughts and, dreaming to an excess sometimes. And I speak as a Pisces ascendant, so I think I can say this.
Yes. It's okay. I am not taking offense. I hear you all on that. For people that aren't Pisces or don't have that in like their sun or moon or other signs, for those that are not Pisces, but Saturn's entering Pisces, what can they expect? And during this next, few years?
So I would look to the house where Pisces is in your chart to understand it in greater detail. I would say ideally you book a reading with an astrologer, any astrologer, and you have that conversation. So, because within everyone's birth chart, there's a high level of specificity. There are interactions between different planets that, if I can't see your chart or an astrologer can't see your chart, then we can't really get into the nitty gritty on how it might impact you. But we can say general for everyone, and what we'll see on the world stage is a greater level of seriousness, Saturn, around themes such as art, poetry, music. Pisces is a very artistic, creative sign. We might see really legendary pieces of art be created during this time. And we can look back to the last couple times Saturn has been in Pisces, such as the mid-90s and the late 60s, for periods of time that have legendary, iconic works of art and musicians, creators, that those periods are known for that.
I love this. It'd be really needed after such a tumultuous few years for people to see that art and the creative expression and the comfort that probably comes with it too.
Yes, that's what makes us. And, there's been kind of a lack of art over the past few years. So many artists were unable to really, get into their craft due to societal circumstances. So finally, we're reaching kind of like an artistic renaissance with Saturn moving into Pisces. We'll also likely see people be more serious about spirituality and metaphysical paranormal experiences and arts and knowledge. Saturn is serious. Saturn creates structure.
Yes. More people waking up and getting the structure with the spirituality too, because spirituality can be oftentimes very fluid in a lot of ways, or it is very fluid. And, obviously there's meaning for different people behind that, but having that structure, I'm sure, will probably help direct people and give them that guidance a little bit more. Whereas maybe if the energy wasn't as supportive in that sort of direction and foundation, hopefully Saturn helps bring that through.
Absolutely. Something we can see with just in general with Pisces is there's a relationship to knowledge and to wisdom, because Pisces traditionally is ruled by Jupiter, which is the planet of the big picture, of our worldviews, of philosophy, of knowledge and wisdom. So Pisces really best applies that type of grand scale knowledge on an emotional and intuitive plane. And with Saturn moving into Pisces, we will see things like, the psych, we already are saying this, but I think the quickening of psychedelics being mainstreamed, becoming a part of the medical community and establishment, we'll definitely see those things quicken, creating more order and structure around that which is metaphysical, mystical, poetic. But I also find that people during these Saturn and Pisces eras, which again was the mid-90s and also the late 60s, people tend to turn towards communities where they can practice spirituality or discover new philosophies together. And ideally, create structure within the communities for love, for care, for nurturing. Because places the water sign. It's very compassionate and it's very charitable and generous. So hopefully during this period of time until February 2026, when Saturn leaves Pisces, we'll see more care for community and, of course, one another, and actively caring, you know, not just talking about it, but actually doing the work of service. Pisces is a very service-oriented. So having Saturn here, that we're serious about, you know, if it's not just getting on social media and complaining about things, or, you know, posting, you know, these kind of signally posts, but like actually going out, if you really want to care about that issue, go out and do something about it. And Saturn's going to push people out the door to go do something.
Amen. I've been feeling that too. And some examples that just popped in my head when you were talking, just kind of a sidebar, is there's this one influencer that I follow on Instagram, and she did this really funny reel about cleaning out her refrigerator and, you know, making these comments that I wish the refrigerator just had this ability to put that into the waste. And I thought it was funny, but at the same time, I was thinking, you know what, that's 20% of waste in our landfills is food. And the U.S. is the biggest instigator of that. And so I thought, I don't want to be super serious, but I felt like a call to action to make a comment. And I just said, hey, really funny reel, you know, thanks for making me laugh. But FYI, you know, food waste is 20% in the landfills. Can we do a little bit better about actually, you know, throwing out these containers and stuff? And I felt this push and pull. The reason I'm sharing it is because I didn't want to be nasty or put any sort of negative comment out there, but I felt very strongly about it. And what you're saying is that a lot of people are going to start to feel and see. And also something just like that I recognized that came up in a message where I might have just ignored it before and been like, yeah, it's not my place, or it doesn't really matter, or whatever. It does matter, right? So.
Yes, I was just going to say, I love that example. It's so demonstrative of Saturn. Saturn can be seen as a negative. And like you've had that thought, like, oh, maybe this is a negative comment, but it was actually very constructive, because ultimately Saturn might judge something, but it lends structure and order. So it's saying, hey, here's a fact about a real issue, and let's actually do something about it. Let's create action. Saturn's a leader and an authoritative. And I feel like even just with that comment, this energy of Saturn in Pisces.
Yeah, it was interesting because intuitively my spirit team was like, no, make a comment. This is important, with somebody who has millions of followers, right? Maybe three people see it or whatever. But anyway, I just find that interesting that it's just starting to pop up even more so over the past like few days. And so thank you for helping crystallize that. All right. Anything else with Saturn in Pisces, or do we want to kind of pivot to Pluto entering Aquarius for the next 20 years coming up on the 23rd here in March?
Well, one last point about Saturn is water. Saturn is a planet that does deal with difficulty. So we might see some issues around water or the way we treat the, you know, beings that live in the water, the oceans themselves, during this next 3-year period become very like mainstream in public conversation, which I think while it might be highlighting the negative, the Saturn side, it'll lead us to more constructive action in regards to how we treat, you know, our water resources. And that's just one last point about Saturn.
That is so freaky. It's like you're in my mind. Only because I had no idea about any of this. And I was just thinking the other day, I want to get better about hydrating myself and water. But then I got into this whole existential questioning of the type of water and the importance of water and everything else. And I didn't know why this information was coming in, and even just animals within the water. So thank you for that. So if anyone's out there having the same kind of thoughts about why is this popping in my head or why I'm thinking about it, that's probably why. Okay. So Pluto entering Aquarius on March 23rd.
Yes. So this is the banner transit. Pluto has not been in the sign Aquarius since the late 18th century. So we're thinking the era of the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the kind of height in the beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, geez. Okay. Are we ready for a revolution, people?
So, think about Aquarius, where Pluto, I'll talk about Aquarius first before I talk about Pluto. Aquarius is, again, a Saturn world sign. It's an air sign. It deals with the systems and the networks of society. So think things like government, like business, our infrastructure. Aquarius deals with humanitarians. How do we make life equitable for everyone on the planet? Aquarius is a very fixed intellectual or knowledge-driven sign. It's an air sign. All the air signs deal with the mind. It's a fixed sign, meaning archetypally it falls in the middle of the season, so it has a stabilizing kind of process-oriented approach to life. And being ruled by Saturn, it deals with structures and constructions and forms of the mind. So things like political ideologies, philosophies. So I say all that because when we think about the late 18th century and those revolutions, you know, the Haitian Revolution, French Revolution, American Revolution, they all dealt with political ideology, collisions of philosophical systems.
And it's coming up here. Great.
Yes.
Got it. All right.
I do like to keep it. I'm not a Pollyanna. I don't want to preach any Pollyanna astrology.
We need to be realist. I mean, when it comes to the world around us and the spiritual world around us and all of that. But yes. Okay. I'm tracking with you so far.
With that said, I do believe in both fate and fortune. You know, a child being born into an impoverished family, you know, in the global South, that's their circumstance. It's their fate. No. And I hope that doesn't sound like it's they deserve it. They deserve something difficult. I don't mean that in any way. I mean, merely when I say fate, I mean it in the purely the circumstance. There's fortune. And the fortune in the classical conception was, what do you do with your willpower? What do you do with your own independent mind and spirit and body based on, you know, like your fate is there. Your circumstances are present and they are definitely influencing how you will continue through life, of course. But the fortune aspect of astrology is our free will. It's like, okay, well, so now I have this set of circumstances I find myself in. Okay, what do I do with my free will? And of course, our free will is not as free as we would maybe always want it to be. And I say all this just because I also really believe in constructive optimism that, you know, and not to be pie in the sky, but Pluto in Aquarius does pose some challenges for humanity. We're seeing the AI revolution skyrocket, and we're in the fourth wave of the industrial revolution. So mechanization, automation, along with AI, is going to create extremely interesting circumstances and financially, societally, when we have to deal with that there are technologies that can perform entire sectors worth of jobs, it's going to lead to very fundamentally Aquarian questions. What is our belief in who we are as human beings? What are our beliefs in? What is society? Philosophically, even spiritually, what is the human purpose? Those kind of huge questions are going to come up over the next 20 years. Pluto's going to be in Aquarius until 2044. I think it's exciting because I feel like, don't we want to ask those questions, you know?
Yeah, no. When you were talking, I was thinking about things like, for example, when you talk about AI, there was someone that, an attorney I was speaking to with my full-time job. And very long story short, she mentioned that they decided to use this AI. I guess there's something within Microsoft Word that you can give them some bullet points and then it will draft for you what needs to be drafted. And so as a communicator, I was thinking, okay, that's a little scary. Just give somebody bullet points and whatever, and then boom, your job's done. And she said, like, you know, obviously these attorneys go to law school, you know, this undergrad, graduate school. And at the end of the day, when they did this, she said 90% or 95% of this stuff was just drafted as if, you know, yes, you needed the bullet points in there. But when it comes to things like writing and communication and legal is just one example of what you were talking about in terms of jobs. But hopefully that means that maybe the lighter lifts or some of the more mundane stuff are taken over. And this gives us the opportunity as humans to think more intellectually and to bring the creativity and the art and to really use things and dive in deeper to science and exploration and how can we better our planet and going into all of those things. So it's really what I hear you saying is more, what are the tools that are happening astrologically, the technology, everything else? And that existential question of, to your point, who are we as humans and human beings? And also, what does it mean spiritually with us? Because we're also spiritual beings.
I love that. And yes, that example of your friend who's the attorney is a great example of the tools that are being developed and that will overall in the course of Pluto transiting through Aquarius will likely see. And let me actually back up a little bit because I didn't really touch on what does Pluto mean? Pluto is the catalytic planet of transformation. It provides metamorphic transformation. So think of mythologically the phoenix. That story of the phoenix, that bird that is born from an egg and it lives its many thousands of years of life. And then it returns to the same spot it was born and it self-immolates. It sets itself a frame. And from the ashes, you find another egg of that same bird to be reborn. So Pluto relates to the cycle of death, regeneration, and rebirth. Usually when Pluto transits through a sign, whether we're talking on a world stage or in our personal life, what we experience is a kind of a deconstruction, another way we can consider this is Pluto being the underworld god in Greece. And when Pluto transits through a particular sign, an area of our chart, we experience an underworld journey. And in that underworld journey, we go through a shamanistic type of healing and transformation. It might feel very uncomfortable. It might feel very scary. But ultimately, we come out of that experience more integrated, more whole, and all the more compassionate and understanding and knowledgeable about that part of our life. Pluto has spent the past decade plus in the sign of Capricorn. When Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008, we saw a global financial crisis that has impacted humanity since then. You know, we're still feeling the repercussions of it. But when Pluto enters Aquarius in a few days, and as it will dance back and forth between Capricorn and Aquarius, I should clarify it for the next couple of years, because planets go what we call retrograde. From a perspective on Earth, of course, we live in a heliocentric cosmos or solar system. But from a perspective on Earth, the planet appears to be back.
Very familiar with Mercury in retrograde. So I'm sure most listeners are. I'd say again, Mercury's in retrograde again, but yes. Okay, backwards.
Even Pluto has its retrograde. So when that happens, we'll have Pluto go back into Capricorn. And this happens a couple times over the next 2 years. By 2024, 2025, Pluto will be in full speed ahead in Aquarius until the 2040s. And in this next couple of years, we're getting kind of the preview of the full potency of Pluto. So think catalytic transformation, moving into the realm of the mind, moving into the realm of digital technology and communications and media and philosophy and ideology and societal infrastructures. We're looking at pretty a wholesale transformation, how all humans communicate with one another, express themselves, and operate as a society.
Wow. That does put, thank you for that context, because I was going to say we just jumped right into it. So kind of going back and giving that background a little bit more helps to understand. And you said that's for 23 years?
Roughly like 20 years or so. It began really in full, I mean, 2024. We're entering it now. It's like a dance back and forth. Pluto will go retrograde a couple of times. And then late 2024, Pluto will move forward in Aquarius and with no retrogrades.
That part's good, I guess. Yeah, so that'll like, it's almost catapulting us into it and saying, nope, you're going to stay on track with this. Speaking of it being, you know, for the structure and everything, do you mind just giving kind of a recap about those sorts of what we're going to see both with those two for anyone that was listening?
So with Saturn transiting through Pisces from this month, March of 2023, until February 2026, we're going to see more form, order, discipline around Piscean topics such as mysticism, poetry, the arts, just creativity as a whole, even passion projects, compassion. So we'll likely see societally and in our individual lives more of fixation and an emphasis on being compassionate in an active way, like actually going out into the world and doing works of goodwill. The ruler of Pisces is Jupiter, a planet of goodwill and optimism and faith. We'll likely see forms of belief and faith also concretize. And we have to acknowledge there are shadow and light sides of all these things. And people might get entrenched in certain belief systems. But at the same time, certain belief systems will be challenged, both individually and on the global stage as well. So it is an opportunity for a reconfiguration, a reconstruction of how we perceive the world, how we perceive reality, and how we create, how we make art, and how we exercise our goodwill and our compassion. And then with Pluto and Aquarius over the next 20 or so years, we're seeing catalytic transformation and metamorphosis around societal systems, our politic, the way we think, the way we communicate, the way we express. Obviously, can think digital technologies, the communications revolution is going to go into hyperdrive. We're entering a revolution, obviously, in things like AI and automation. Those are accompanying Pluto and Aquarius. But we'll also see this like things like digital currencies, the restructuring of how certain, even on the nation state, operates. So what that even is, we'll see a lot of fluidity. Air is free, it's open. And with air, you can scatter seeds to the wind and share that information, share that knowledge over the whole planet. So we'll likely see digital technology become, you know, not as honed in the global north as it currently is, but something that is truly global. Like global knowledge will start to be shared. The histories will start to be shared from peoples who, up until, you know, this transit, likely have kind of lived in obscurity, you know, at least to the West. I think those boundaries of East, West, global North, global South will dissolve over this next 20 years. And even if we're, you know, living in our one country, we'll have the opportunity to communicate with and share knowledge with people from all over, which I think is only going to do of humanity.
Oh, wonderful. I love that recap. Thank you for sharing it. I just wanted to make sure, because we talked about a lot of stuff. So if you want to re-listen back to the episode, I'm sure you're going to get some great nuggets, but also that end part was really helpful to summarize everything for people. So Torrens, you were very generous in offering listeners a discount code for your 120-minute natal birth chart readings. And that is 15% off code STORY15. So that's STORY15. And how can people reach you?
My website is TremaineArts.com, TREMAYNE, Arts, ARTS.com. You can also find me at Tremaine Arts on Instagram. And that's really my only social media at the moment. But either of those places, you can send me a message on Instagram or send me an email through my website. And I offer, again, those natal chart readings. And I'd love to speak with you and look forward to getting some FaceTime with everyone.
Yes. Well, I'd love to have you back too, or maybe if you feel like it, I'm just going to put you on the spot where you can provide maybe some updates. And I see that you do it on social media, on Instagram. So I'll be sure to share it with people as well as you continue to put that out there. But yes, would love to have you back. And is there anything I did want to ask you before we close out that you didn't have a chance to share or talk about that you wanted to with the listeners?
Well, the one point I'd like to share is I see this online a lot, and I hear this in casual conversation. A lot of people have a lot of fear. They take it as, this is what's going to happen to me. I have no power over this. Like, this is so scary. We have free will. I am an astrologer, of course, and I do believe that there is a design, a patterning to the cosmos, but we still have free will. So don't fear. You know, fear is not productive in any way for our hearts or minds.
Yeah. No, and that's a hugely powerful message that you just shared. And I've said this before, and I will say it again, because we have free will, we have choice. And, you know, I've had psychics before in the past tell me and give me readings when I was younger, and there was something that just resonated. And I was like, I don't accept that. I don't choose that. So not happening, right? There are things like astrology and everything else that we were born into, and that there's that physical component and that energy around it. But we exist because we can change and amplify and direct. That's why things like astrology, tarot, palm reading, Reiki, whatever the modalities are, they are really merely tools and resources for information for you to take to empower you, not to feel like you're entrenched and you're stuck in this box.
Absolutely true.
So thank you for sharing that. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I appreciate you being on. Thank you. And I'll be sure to include all this information in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.